Dr. Finley's Casebook. Adapted for radio from the television series based on the characters created by A.J. Cronin, with Andrew Cruikshank as Dr. Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, and Bill Simpson as Dr. Finley. This week, Dorothy, written by Owen Holder and adapted for radio by Pat Dunlop.
Now come away in and I'll call Dr. Cameron. That is, if you've not wakened him already.
What is it, Janet?
It's this young lady, Doctor. She says...
Please hurry, Doctor. He's so very bad.
Her father, Dr. Cameron.
What's the matter with him?
You'll see when you get there.
You must tell me something about his symptoms. I need to know what to take with me.
I'm sorry. It's his chest. He can hardly breathe. I've done what I can, but...
Has he had a cold recently?
Yes, Doctor. He was out in the wet a few days back. He got soaked through.
Where do you live?
It's way out beyond Benkiller.
Please fetch my coat, Janet.
Well, you'd better take a big scarf, too. It would be bleak out there, Doctor.
Now then, young lady, we'll be on our way. What's your name?
Dorothy.
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 Well then, Dorothy, you just go out there and get seated in my car. I'll be with you in a minute. It's 10 minutes since we left the car. We have much farther to go.
No, it's right here, Doctor.
This place, it's no more than a byre.
It gives us shelter. Will you come away in, Doctor? Father. Father, I've brought a doctor.
He can't hear you. He's not conscious.
What is it, Doctor?
Looks like pleurisy. One thing is certain, he cannot be moved. I must attempt an aspiration.
What's that?
That's a small operation. It will remove some of the fluid.
Is there any hope for him?
I will do what I can, Dorothy.
To save him?
To make things easier for him.
How long?
A few hours. We will both stay with him. What will you do now, Dorothy?
I'll work something out.
Your mother...
Mm-mm.
You're alone, then?
It's been a long night. You must get away home, Doctor.
You'd better come with me. I can't leave you in this place.
It's my home.
Oh, that's a good-looking puppy. Is he yours?
No, he was sick. I took away the pain.
Indeed?
How's your father, Dorothy? I do hope... Oh, I'm so sorry.
You can take the puppy, Ian. He's well now.
Is this your land, young man?
Aye, the farm's just over the hill. Well, there's a home for you with us, Dorothy. You're welcome there.
One thing is certain, she can't stay here alone.
Come with me, Dorothy. I'll take care of you.
Go away, Ian. Please. I'm going with the doctor. Do you understand?
You should have called me, Dr. Cameron. I'd have seen to the bed.
I saw no reason to disturb your sleep again, Janet. The girl and I managed tolerably well.
Oh, it may not have been properly aired.
How old is she?
How old, Dr. Finley? Oh, I'd say around 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Patterson has a room at her boarding house, Doctor. Now, it might be as well if she went there. Folk may have something to say about a girl of her years sharing a house with two bachelors.
Do folk say the same about you, Janet?
Just let them try.
She needs care at a time like this, Janet. I fear she would find cold comfort in a boarding house.
Dr. Cameron, I do not doubt that this is the best place for her. But some might say it is not the right place.
sorry, I...
Oh, come away in, Dorothy. This is Miss McPherson, our housekeeper. And this is my partner, Dr. Finley.
Oh, Dorothy. I fetched the breakfast. You must be very hungry.
How do you do, Dorothy? Will you sit here?
We would like you to try to feel at home here. If there's anything we can do for you, you only have to ask.
He wouldn't want to be buried in holy ground. Huh?
Well, no doubt Mr. Gibson and the minister will sort that out between them.
He must have been awful cross going at this time. We'd have been away to the Highlands in a day or two. That's where he liked best.
Oh, you've got a place up there, have
no,
you?
No, but we always found somewhere. We just put our things in the cart and go.
How long were you up at the old byre?
A few months, maybe 7 or 8. Huh? We took no notice of time, nor it of us.
Have you always been on the move, then?
Ever since my mother died. I was 4. Father just turned his back on everything and took me with him.
What a school.
I never saw inside of one. Father wouldn't let me out of his sight. He'd lost enough already, he said.
Did he not realize that education is compulsory?
Aye, he did. But when the school board got after us, we'd be gone the next day.
You don't sound uneducated. I mean, you've plenty of words. What about reading and writing?
I can manage well enough. My father taught me. What I didn't get from him, the birds and the animals, the earth changing, all these things such as everyone knows, they taught me. La mort est plus aisée à supporter sans y penser que la pensée de la mort sans péril.
Pascal?
If my father ever thought about death, I trust it was easier when it came than whatever he expected.
You know French better than I do, Dorothy.
I read it better than I speak it.
What else?
Latin, of course. Some German.
You learned all this from your father?
He was a teacher in Edinburgh till my mother died. He liked his dram, too. He'd none at the end, poor man. We'd no money at all. He said it was no more than a cold. It was all so quick. I did what I could. I took away the pain.
You used that before about the puppy. What does it mean?
I've a way with pain. Animals mostly. People when they let me. Headaches and cramps and things.
How do you do it?
With my hands. I put my hands where the pain is, and it goes.
Well, there now. You'll feel better with a good breakfast.
Thank you, Miss McPherson. Oh, but it's bacon.
What, is there something wrong with it?
I'm sorry, I don't eat meat. Hello, Miss McPherson. I've just been out for a walk. I brought back some flowers.
Well, so I see. And very nice they are. Where did you go walking, Dorothy?
The hills and about. Wouldn't these be gladioli?
The wood.
And sweet peas? Aye, the last of them.
Where did you get them?
There was a place with railings round. Quite low ones. I got over easily.
Dorothy, was there a big house near?
In the distance. I was in a sort of wood.
And a pair of big gates?
I came through them on my way out.
Dorothy, that was Lord Sinclair's estate.
It was. It was awful grand.
These flowers are private property.
That doesn't make sense, Miss McPherson. It's better they be seen by as many as can, is it not?
You have a way of putting things, Dorothy.
What are you making?
Apple pie.
You cook the apples?
The doctors like them that way.
Isn't that odd? And doctors, too.
Oh.
That vase is for you, Miss McPherson.
Oh, thank you, Dorothy. And now you'd best spread the others around the house. Away from the windows would be a good idea.
Next one, please. Ah, good morning. Good morning, Mrs. Yule.
Good morning, Dr. Finley.
Oh, these are for you, Dr. Finley. There, I'll put them on the desk.
Dorothy, you mustn't interrupt the surgery.
I'm not. I'm away again.
My, aren't they beautiful? Is that a new girl you have? A maid, maybe?
No, she's just staying with us for a while. She has nowhere else to go. Is it your legs again, Mrs. Yule?
It is, Dr. Finley. Most awful pain.
Yes. Well, we'd better have a look.
Would that be her father, the man Mr. Gibson was telling me about? No burial service, no religion.
That could very well be. Now, is that tent up there?
A little, Doctor. How long will she be staying?
Oh, just as long as is necessary, Mrs. Yule, for her health and welfare.
Hello, Dr. Finley. Did you finish your surgery?
Aye, it's over. Still exercising your brain, eh? And what's the book?
Kierkegaard.
Uh-huh.
It's Dr. Cameron.
Dorothy, have you given any thought as to what you're going to do?
You want me to leave?
No. I mean, what are you going to do with your life?
Live it.
Well, I've been thinking...
Father always approved of thinking.
Ah, well, it seems to me that you were born for it.
For thinking?
No. I mean, to be a doctor. You have the brain and the aptitude and this gift for taking away pain, as you call it. I don't know what it is exactly, but you should have full medical knowledge to back it up.
What would I have to do?
Go to medical school.
Who'd pay for it all?
Yes, well, that's something that I've got to see about. Just leave that side of things to me for a bit. But if you did have the chance, would you go?
I don't think so.
It would be Glasgow.
My father taught in Glasgow before he went to Edinburgh. I'd like to see it, but no.
Why not?
It's the crowds. People. They frighten me somehow.
Ah, you'd soon get used to them. Now, don't you waste your gifts, Dorothy.
I won't be made to do anything. People always want to change you, to be like them. I won't be put in order.
Still here, Dr. Finley?
I
thought you'd gone on your rounds.
No, I was late finishing surgery, but I'm on my way now. I'll see you later, Dorothy.
Hello, Dr. Cameron. Do you have some plans for me?
Not unless you wish it. Why, has Dr. Finley said something?
Do you know your Kierkegaard?
What? Oh, I did, but it might need some little reviving.
The crowd is untruth, he said.
I forget the context, but I recall the phrase.
Do you agree with him?
The thought is one to be pondered upon rather than dogmatized.
But you must make up your mind eventually.
Let me put it this way, then. The crowd is democracy, and vice versa.
But the crowd is unaware of the whole truth of the thing. It hasn't time to be otherwise.
It's a hypothesis.
History proves it, Dr. Cameron. And if democracy is the will of the crowd, untruth must always prevail.
You're sure you're not making an excuse to avoid the crowd?
How?
The crowd is reality, Dorothy. You mustn't run away from that. That is why, to put it in mundane terms, I would like you to go shopping with Janet.
If you really want me to.
I do. It's the first step. Once you have encountered the crowd whom you so despise, then you may assess Kierkegaard in the light of experience. It is the only true test of a philosophy that it should want.
Just a quick word, that's all. What, is he not in, then? I see. No, Miss Bailey, please don't bother. I'll ring again. Yes. Goodbye, Miss Bailey.
Oh, Dr. Finley, I'm sorry. I thought you were in the other room.
Just looking something up, Janet.
Will it be all right if I tidy up for evening surgery?
Aye, you go right ahead, Janet.
I would not want to interrupt you while you were reading.
That's no trouble. No trouble at all.
Do you know that Dorothy cleaned out the bathroom today and made the beds without my knowing? Of course, it was very kind of her.
Well, kindness is a part of her character. She wouldn't have this way with pain, as she calls it, if it weren't.
You believe in that, Dr. Finley?
What, don't you?
Well, of course I do. Some of the things I've seen back home in the islands you would not credit. But it is unlike you, Dr. Finley.
Ah, well, even doctors learn a little every day, Janet.
There you are, Janet. I was looking for you. Dorothy has consented to go.
Oh, to Mrs. Patterson's. Well, I think maybe it's for the best.
No, not to Mrs. Patterson's. She's consented to go to the shops, Janet.
And with you.
Oh, that is good news, Dr. Cameron. Well, I'd better go and get ready. I think it might be a very interesting afternoon.
Thank you, Mrs. Yule. And I want a 2-shilling postal order and a stamped envelope.
A 2-shilling postal order, is it?
Mm-hmm. For my special shampoo that I send away for.
A special shampoo? Uh-huh. Do you think it's worth it?
Oh. Good afternoon, Miss McPherson.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Ray.
And Dorothy.
Will that be all, mm-hmm. Mrs. Ray?
I think I'll just browse a little.
Can I help you, Miss McPherson? The young lady would like some stockings.
Woolly ones.
No, Dorothy. Lyle ones, please, Mrs. Yule.
What for, Miss McPherson?
For your new dress. She'd like black, please.
What new dress?
The one we will be buying for you.
A black one?
No, not black. No, dark. It's more practical.
Oh, no. Please. If I'm to have a dress I don't want, at least let it be one that I choose. Have you any red stockings, Mrs. Yule?
Red? You cannot wear red stockings, Dorothy. It is not considered respectable.
Oh. All right. Green. Have you any green ones, Mrs. Yule?
Not green, either.
I've only the fawn and black, in any case.
Then I'll have the woolly ones. What colours do you have in those, Mrs. Yule?
My dear Dorothy, you cannot wear woolly stockings with a cotton dress and leather shoes.
What shoes?
The shoes we are going to buy.
You know I don't wear shoes.
All young ladies wear shoes, my dear.
Do they? Why is that, Mrs. Ray?
Because they do. Because it's natural.
The poor kind they take the hide off wouldn't agree with you. It's feet that are natural. Not once have I had to get a new pair or have them repaired.
But, Dorothy, there are some occasions when you'd have to wear shoes.
What occasions would those be, Mrs. Yule?
For visiting.
I don't go visiting.
What about entertaining your friends?
I've none to entertain, Mrs. Ray.
Well, you'll need to wear them to the kirk.
I don't go to the kirk either.
I think that is enough shopping for today.
If there's a God at all, he'll be out in the fields and hills, not inside anywhere. Besides, I had a look in the kirk today, and it smells. Well, what do you think of the dress, Dr. Findlay?
It's unusual.
What's wrong with that?
Well, maybe I'll tell you some other time. But right now, you've got a visitor.
Where?
In the other room.
Oh! Ian! What are you doing here?
I came to see you, Dorothy.
Well, what do you want?
Just to see you.
Well, you have.
Oh, that dress looks silly on you. It doesn't belong on you. It spoils your body.
Go away, Ian.
You don't belong here at all.
That's for me to say.
Come back with me, Dorothy.
With you, I will not. You're an animal, but for wanting its dignity.
You silly, stupid, fancy creature.
Hey, Dorothy, I wonder if you'd do something for me.
Now?
Well, why not?
What is it?
Well, I'll show you. You see, the minister, Mr. Leask, has asked me to get together some first aid hints for the Boys' Club. Now, I wonder if you'd mind copying out some of the drawings for me. Now, these are the books. They're all marked out. I'll take it. Arden House. Yes, this is Dr. Findlay speaking. Oh, yes. Would you mind holding on a moment? I'll take it in the surgery. Excuse me, Dr. Cameron and Dorothy. It's a sort of private call.
What's that you're reading, Gerald?
Grey's Anatomy.
How did you come by there?
Dr. Findlay's first aid notes.
Oh, aye, for the Boys' Club.
I've done the bones and the muscles. I'm on the nervous system now.
Do you need to go so far, Dorothy?
Oh, I've finished the notes, Dr. Cameron. I'm just reading on.
Are you thinking of taking Dr. Finley's advice about a career?
Maybe it would be best.
Maybe. I am told that you had a visitor today.
Yes.
Are you fond of him?
Not fond, no.
But you'd like to go away with him?
Where did he get such an idea, Dr. Cameron?
That call was from the medical school in Glasgow. They have a vacancy in 8 months' time. She'll have to pass the university entrance exam, of course.
Well, that should present no problem. Where should she prepare for it?
I'll find a crammer who'll take her on. She could start right away.
You'll have seen to that?
Yes, I've made inquiries.
You have been busy, Doctor.
And what about the fee?
I'm glad you mentioned that, Dr. Cameron.
Glad?
Well, of course, there is some hope of a scholarship or grant or some such.
And if not?
Well, you brought Dorothy here, did you not? You'll want to do the best for her.
Oh, even so.
Now, there are times, Dr. Cameron, when sacrifices have to be made.
I think you forget that I'm here. I shall go to bed now. Thank you for your trouble, Dr. Findlay.
Oh, it's you, Mr. McCall. What can I do for you?
Dr. Cameron, could I see him, please?
I'm afraid he's not in, nor Dr. Findlay either. Is there something I could do?
No, it's just...
Mr. McCall, you don't look at all well. Come into the house. Let me help you. Here. There. Now, sit down on that chair. Where is the pain, Mr. McCall?
Right through here, Miss McPherson. Right down this arm.
What happened, Miss McPherson? What's the matter with him?
It's his chest. Pains in his chest.
Oh, here, let me help him.
No, we must just make him comfortable until one of the doctors comes home.
That's all I want to do, Miss McPherson. Make him comfortable. Now, I just relax. Let me put my hand where the pain is.
Lass, it's gone. It's really gone. What did you do?
Are you sure the pain has gone, Mr. McCall?
Aye. It's like I never had it. Oh, she's a rare one.
Dorothy, you're very pale. Are you all right?
I'm fine, Miss McPherson. Really, I'm fine.
I will not be put off, Dr. Cameron. I want to know all about it.
Now, now, Mrs. McCall, you must calm yourself.
I want to know what went on here this afternoon.
Went on?
Aye, with my husband. You and Dr. Findlay were out, but she wasn't, and she did things to him.
I do not know what you are suggesting, Mrs. McCall, but...
He's thrown off his head about her. I want to know what she did.
Miss McPherson was here. I am quite sure that nothing improper
that
could...
That girl worked a spell on him. She is a witch.
Stop your blabbing, woman.
She is a witch. Mother! Oh, you can't come bursting in here, Jamie. Away home with you.
Dr. Finney will be calling to see your husband this evening, Mrs. McCall. Now, forget all this superstitious
Mother.
Nonsense.
Mother! Jamie, you're not to bother me.
But, Ma, it's Feather.
What? Feather, I think you stayed.
I think perhaps you don't quite understand the reason for my visit here, Dr. Cameron. Perhaps I could be permitted to just see the girl.
Mr. Leask, there is no doubt that James McCall died from coronary thrombosis.
Uh-huh.
As I respect your cloth, will you please accept my professional diagnosis?
I don't doubt you for one moment, Dr. Cameron. It's the circumstances of the man's death that are of concern to me, or to be precise, to the people of Tannagh Bray.
He was my patient, Mr. Leask. I was due to call on McCall that evening. There was no likelihood of my seeing him any sooner.
But if the girl had not relieved his pain, he would still have been here when you got back that afternoon, Dr. Findlay.
Aye, he might well have been dead by then.
Aye, but he might not, and if not, he would have received proper medical attention.
Excuse me, may I come in?
Well, not just now, Dorothy.
Why not, Dr. Cameron? As it's the minister who's here, it must be to do with me.
It is, child.
Tell me then, Mr. Leask.
Dorothy.
I want to know what he has to say. It's best. Now then, Mr. Leask, what is it?
I am not here as a man of God. I know your views on such matters.
I question,
No more than that.
You declare, you say that nature is God, that animals have souls, that women are equal with men, that the body is to be admired, that...
I have said all that. I don't deny it. Why do you?
I appreciate your spirit, but not your antagonism. Dorothy, do you know what people are saying? For living in the same house as two bachelors, you're a Jezebel.
Anything else?
For your free thinking, you're a blasphemer. And for what you did for James McCall, you're a witch.
Mr. Leask, how can you countenance such nonsense?
I condemn their attitudes as much as you do, Dr. Cameron. Do you take me for a fool? I would prefer one such unbeliever as this girl to a whole flock of believing sheep. I wish God had given me your courage, Dorothy, right or wrong. But if he had, I would not be here. It would be no place for me, as it is no place for you.
I know that, Minister.
Then, for your own sake, I ask you to leave Tannagh Bray.
I have every intention of doing so, Mr. Leask.
Dorothy.
I must, Dr. Cameron. There's not the space for me here. The minds of this town are as narrow as its streets and just as littered. The clean wind is a job to get down them. I'm away to find wider ones.
Don't be hasty, Dorothy. You should stay and fight them. You don't have to go.
I want to go, Dr. Cameron, to Glasgow, to learn medicine. I really want to. I'll even wear shoes.
You're writing to her again?
Huh?
To Dorothy. Again.
I was just a wee bit anxious. We've heard nothing from her for 3 weeks.
She'll be pretty busy, Dr. Finney.
Excuse me, doctors. You have visitors. Hello?
Dorothy.
Is there something wrong?
It's not important. Hamish will explain. We've been studying together. Hamish, this is Dr. Findlay and Dr. Cameron.
Good evening.
Hamish brought me back. Dr. Findlay, I'll not be going back to Glasgow.
What?
I've left the school. I'll pay you the money back. I will. Now I must go and get my things.
Now, what does she mean, Hamish? Left the school?
She has, sir. It was no surprise. It's hard to explain. There's a wildness about her. It won't be tamed.
Go on, man.
Well, she'll not accept anything. She will argue.
I am less surprised than you may think.
She'll argue about everything with everyone. The students, the teachers, every theory, every proposition, every fact even. She'll tear it apart and turn it upside down and just make fun of it.
No, only to find the truth, I'm sure. That's what learning is for.
Aye, but it's a grammar, not a university, sir. There just isn't time.
Yes, but couldn't you do anything for her? I mean, you, personally, you seem to have become pretty close.
Oh, forgive me for saying so, but I don't think anybody ever got that close to Dorothy. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'll be going. Good night, doctors.
A wildness, Dr. Finley. Do you understand?
I think I do, Dr. Cameron. I just don't want you to make me have to admit it.
Well, I'm ready. I just would like to say goodbye to you both. And thank you.
But don't run away, Dorothy. Saul's nothing.
I'm not running away, Dr. Findlay. I'm running to...
To where?
Home. I think Dr. Cameron knows where that is.
I do indeed. And it will give me great pleasure to drive you there. Perhaps Dr. Findlay would care to join us. Just a few more yards. Then you're on foot, Dorothy.
Goodbye, Dr. Findlay. Goodbye, Dr. Cameron.
Goodbye, Dorothy. I'm sorry you'd have made a good doctor.
What's one less when there are two like you around? Ian. Ian. Ian, I've come home. Do you hear me? Home.
Dorothy.
Oh, what a waste.
Maybe, Dr. Finney. And maybe not.